Welcome back to another episode of Nancy AF. This is Nancy Anderson Fit, and by popular request today, and with no pushback from me because I seriously love talking about and educating on this topic, today we're going to be revisiting postnatal depletion. Think of this as postnatal depletion episode part two, okay? We have covered this before in a previous episode, but this time we're diving a little deeper in. This has been by far my most popular episode, and I've gotten a lot of follow-up questions on the topic of postnatal depletion. So I think it's important that we keep giving out the information. When people want the education, we should offer it. So that's what I'm going to do more in this episode, is dive a little deeper, cover a little bit more. So buckle up. You're about to learn a lot. If you haven't heard of postnatal depletion before, it's a common and overlooked syndrome faced by almost all moms, to be honest with you, whether they're at home with a newborn, or they're later on in life, like maybe taking their kids to college, for example. If you haven't treated your postnatal depletion and taken care of it and been able to replenish from your pregnancy, no matter how long ago that pregnancy was, you could still be dealing with postnatal depletion. That is probably the biggest question that I get. Yes, it's still possible no matter your age or your kid's age. And as I said in the first episode, I really believe that postnatal depletion is a common issue facing mothers that's not getting talked about nearly enough. I mean, it's a true epidemic in this country, and no one really talks about it. I mean, there's one book on it that I study the work of the doctor that wrote it. But outside of that, actually, I think there's one famous person that I saw that was talking about it. And I don't remember her name, but she's like really, really, really famous. I'm really bad with that kind of stuff. So sorry about that. But I see it very, very rarely is what I'm saying. So here I go again, talking about it, because I feel like we need to get more education out there. So episodes like this is really important if you're interested in this and you find value in it, to share it with people that might also find value in it. Not to promote my programs, not to sell my stuff, but to just educate on a really important topic that really, truly affects mother's health, and the information just not getting out there. So when you guys share it with your communities, no matter how big or small, you can help empower and educate other women, just like I'm doing. Now, if you need a refresher on what postnatal depletion is, or you didn't get a chance to check out my first episode that I did covering it, I highly recommend just going back and checking that one out first. In that episode, we talked a lot about the signs and symptoms of postnatal depletion, why it happens, and then the essential supplements to help be a big component, a big piece of helping you resolve it. It's all like super useful information. I think it's helpful for future moms and even dads to know, because if I'm being honest, dads, you got to look out for mom too. Okay. In today's episode, we're going to jump into a few things and get a little more nitty-gritty details about postnatal depletion syndrome, particularly as it relates to the following topics: inflammation, autoimmune disorders, which is what I get questions about all the time, like thyroid, so-called quote-unquote baby brain, hormones, depression, and the placenta. But wait, there's more. There's going to be another episode after this, because there's literally so much to cover on it that I'm just going to cover, I want to cover all of it. So I'm going to do it in kind of like episode, like a series. Think of it as a series. The first one we already did. This is the second one. There's going to be a third one as well. And if I need to, I'll make a fourth. If we still need more information or there's still confusion or whatever, I'll just keep going until everyone understands. So in the next episode after this one, I'm going to talk in greater detail about the micronutrients and macronutrients you need to help resolve postnatal depletion, whether from supplements, like I've talked about in my last episode, or food, or both. And I'm also going to include how exactly these nutrients work, because I think that's really important for people to understand, because I actually found this to be a super common question from a lot of people after my last episode, because like me, a lot of you guys really want to understand the how of these things and how they work inside our body, and not just whether or not what to do, like do this or do that. It's like you guys mess with me. You're like, do I really need all these supplements? So I want to explain to you how nutrients, micronutrients, macronutrients work together and play off each other, so you can understand the big picture of why it's important to make sure you're not deficient in anything, because it's kind of like dominoes. Like one thing can affect the next thing next to it, if that makes sense. And I think it's awesome that you guys are so curious. I love that. I'm also very curious, which is why I dive in and really get into topics that maybe other people aren't talking about. So I'm going to try to discuss the mechanisms of these nutrients as they relate to postnatal depletion in that upcoming episode that will be coming up next. And also in that next episode, we'll be talking about exercise and a few other important practices that you'll be able to use to help you resolve postnatal depletion as well. So stay tuned for that, because just keep in mind that postnatal depletion, like number one is like nutrition and supplementation in my mind, but really there's a lot of other things that also affect it and can help you resolve it. So I just want to make sure you guys have the full picture and you're not just thinking like, oh, if I go on this supplement routine that she has laid out, it's going to fix it. Like, yes, I fully believe and research has shown that that will totally help. But it's also about diet, stress, exercise. And I just want to make sure I cover the whole thing for you guys. So that's going to be coming up on the next episode. But for now, let's go ahead and get started with today's topics, shall we? I'm going to begin with the placenta. Yes, the placenta. Now, I may have mentioned this before, but basically your placenta is this amazing, incredible, fascinating organ that your body creates when you're pregnant. Yeah, it creates an organ. Isn't that insane? The placenta has several main jobs. For one, it's a sensor that determines what your fetus needs. It's a filter that lets the good things get to your baby and keeps the bad things away from your baby. And it's also kind of like a hormone factory, and it creates hormones needed by both you and your baby, including, for example, cortisol and estrogen. Now, the placenta itself is super cool because it has this really large surface area, and it's lined with millions of these little finger-like projections that reach into the lining of your uterus and encapsulates your baby. These features are hugely advantageous because they increase the rate of nutrient absorption from mom to baby, especially in the last trimester. And in case you don't know, it takes a lot of nutrients and energy to grow a human baby. So thank goodness the placenta can support this demanding biological process. This does come with a downside, though. A large placenta surface area means the placental lining is inherently more at risk for microscopic tears and hemorrhages, and in effect can lead to a leaky, quote-unquote leaky placenta. I know. Sexy, right? Then, if mom experiences abnormal inflammation or infection, for instance, it can be very hard to prevent this inflammation or infection from reaching the baby. Now, aside from the obvious implication that this can have on the baby and, you know, the baby's health and development, any impairment with the placental lining or a quote-unquote like leaky placenta can actually contribute or even directly cause many pregnancy-related and postnatal health problems. This includes preeclampsia and maternal autoimmune disorders, which can develop after pregnancy, the latter of which is actually considered a hallmark sign of postnatal depletion. Now, let's fucking stop right here, okay? Let's just stop right here. I don't know about you guys, but I had Hashimoto's after my first pregnancy. Never fucking once did anyone tell me this. Never in my life have I heard of a leaky gut until I educated myself on this stuff. I will be seriously shocked if there's anyone listening to this that has heard leaky gut before that hasn't studied the same research that I've studied. I would be blown away. This is what I'm talking about. We've got to get information like this out there. I'm not saying it's the cause, right? Okay, I'm going to continue in a second to explain a little bit more, but I'm not saying, sitting here saying, this is the cause for every single woman who faces any issues like this. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is it can be a big contributor, and no one's talking about it. I find that super underwhelming, okay? All right, so here's a link. Here's the link between these things and postnatal depletion. The placenta has a large surface area, right? We talked about that, which is awesome for growing babies, but can make it more likely to develop tiny surface tears, which can make it leaky, like we talked about, and then contribute for postnatal depletion. So as moms, we need to do the best we can do to optimize placental health and minimize the risk of experiencing infections or haywire inflammation, which was my issue, not an infection. It was inflammation after my first pregnancy in our bodies while we are pregnant. Okay. Another thing's not talked about. When have you ever heard someone talk about inflammation, controlling your inflammation in pregnancy? Okay. Brings me to my next point. Inflammation. How does inflammation relate to pregnancy and postnatal depletion? First, I need you to realize that low-grade levels of inflammation during pregnancy is actually good. It's normal and healthy. So mild inflammation, including all the molecules involved, like enzymes, cytokines, and other immune cells, this prepares your body for pregnancy and actually helps with things like developing new breast tissue to prepare for breastfeeding, triggering new blood vessel growth in your placenta, creating ligament laxity to prepare for delivery, and so on and so on. Mild inflammation also prepares your immune system for pregnancy. All good things. The chemical and cellular messages involved in a mild inflammatory response prevents your immune system from launching a quote-unquote attack against the fetus or baby, aka this new foreign body in your uterus, which obviously we don't want that. So all mild inflammation, good. That's what we need. That's what we actually want. In other words, inflammation in itself isn't necessarily bad for pregnancy, okay? So I want to make that very clear. Because we actually need and want some level of inflammation to help things going. But we want it to be just the right amount, like mom and her porridge. It can't be too hot. It can't be too cold. We need it warm. We need it just right. Same with inflammation. Because problems actually start to happen when there's either too much inflammation, but they can actually also happen if there's too little inflammation. I know this is so annoying, right? Like you just want black and white answers, but it's not. It's usually somewhere in the middle with most things. So too little inflammation and placental growth is impaired. Too much inflammation and we're more at risk for pregnancy-related complications like premature labor, preeclampsia, reduced fetal growth, and autoimmune dysfunction postnatally. Okay, now let's think, team. Where have you heard me talking about too much inflammation before? Anyone? What causes too much inflammation? Anyone? You know it. Number one, poor diet, specifically diets with lots of sugar and flour, gluten, dairy, high stress environments, high stress, chronic stress. Remember, some stress is good, but chronic stress is bad. Impaired gut health, how do we reset our gut? Elimination diet, manage stress, get sleep, stay hydrated, supplement routine, my 30-day slim down, prep for pregnancy, and then also pre-existing medical conditions can cause inflammation, lack of sleep, which I just mentioned, hormone imbalances, which again, your diet so and lifestyle so much affects. It's not about, hormones are so affected by your lifestyle, like mostly affected by lifestyle. The vast majority of which are all related to lifestyle. So if a woman goes into pregnancy already dealing with heightened inflammation from non-ideal lifestyle choices and not prepping for pregnancy with me or someone else that's qualified to help her do that, then her body launches into a very necessary inflammation response in order to prepare for pregnancy. But then this woman will be at much more risk for too much inflammation overall, which can lead to even more stress on the body, even more nutrient depletion, further hormone disruption, and so on and so on and so on. Basically, by not minimizing inflammation and optimizing health before pregnancy, a woman can unknowingly be paving the way towards postnatal depletion later on. Yes, it starts 6 to 12 months before you get pregnant. I'll say it to the day I die. And if it has to start more than that, I'll change it and I'll make it longer. But it ain't going to start any shorter than that. I can promise you that. And if you're surprised by this, obviously, I don't blame you because nobody's freaking talking about this. Like, I mean, if you follow me closely, you know that, like, I'm like a broken record. I'm just going to keep saying the same things over and over again. And then the 310th time that someone hears it, it's going to get through to her And then that's going to affect her life in a positive way and affect her baby in a positive way. And that's a win for me. So I'm just going to keep saying it, beating it in. That's what I'm going to be doing. Because it's just a little frustrating. It's not more talked about. Like, where is this kind of educating for expecting moms? This is the main reason I made this podcast, was to give value and impact my people to be healthier and make a healthier generation coming in. We could easily get, you know, quote unquote, get how eating right, quote unquote, and exercising and being healthy before we get pregnant can be better for us and our babies. But without really understanding the underlying links and causes and effects, I think it's easy for people to like brush it off and not take it seriously. That's one of the other reasons I wanted to dive deeper. Like, I feel like you guys are pretty smart. Like, you, I put the information out, you're like, yeah, I get it. Got it. Okay, good. But then I feel like I need to go deeper, because then a lot of times I get like questions that are really good questions, and I'm like, okay, they're ready for more. They're ready for like a deeper level of understanding. So that's another win for me, because that shows that you guys are getting it. It's making sense. It's clicking. You're like, oh yeah, okay. Yes, I totally understand how this is all connected, and I see the link here. And that's a major win for me, because that means that you guys are getting educated and then hopefully taking that education, implementing it into your life to improve your postnatal depletion or improve your pregnancy prep and all that stuff. So it makes me very happy. I do want to do a brief digression here. Okay. So one man who actually is talking a lot about this and educating people is Dr. Oscar Sorelick, which I love him. I study all of his work. He wrote a book. It's called The Postnatal Depletion Cure. And a lot of my research and education actually comes from him. Now, much like certain other conditions, such as adrenal fatigue, postnatal depletion isn't actually considered a specific clinical condition, which is such a bummer. Unlike, let's say, postpartum depression, which is a very important distinction, because postnatal depression is clinically diagnosable and a potentially pretty serious mental health condition that absolutely requires professional treatment. Even so, I think research and reasons tells us that postnatal depletion can be viewed as well as a syndrome. That is, a constellation of signs and symptoms that aren't all necessarily caused by the exact same root issues. And it's possible to take a bit of a do-it-yourself kind of approach to resolving postnatal depletion. I mean, perhaps, you know, in addition to your doctor's input, of course, if they're knowledgeable about it and can help you, which is the goal, and depending on your situation and needs, of course. And I do highly recommend functional medicine, because they tend to be way more in the know about postnatal depletion. Like, I went in and I said, postnatal depletion, and he just starts nodding. Like, he's like, yep. Okay, let's check, you know, check this. Like, and that was my functional medicine doctor. So I think the good functional medicine doctors are very aware. But anyway, whether postnatal depletion will or will not ever be officially medically recognized, I definitely recommend checking out Dr. Sorelick's book. If you're interested in learning more and getting even deeper, you can read that book or do an audiobook or whatever. Or, you know, you can just take this information and find a really awesome functional medicine doctor. They'll be able to take it from there. Okay, so far we've talked about how the placenta and inflammation are related to postnatal depletion, which is a very important connection to understand. I also briefly mentioned how autoimmune disorders that can develop during or after pregnancy are considered major signs of postnatal depletion. Now, this is an important issue, especially because what I want women to get here is that while autoimmune dysfunction post-pregnancy can be common, it's not necessarily normal. And there are ways you can avoid and manage it. Here's how that works. Listen, your immune system, it detects and neutralizes foreign material inside your body to protect you. This is good. That's what we want. But if a piece of foreign material from your fetus passes into your system, let's say via a leaky placenta with highly inflamed internal environment, this can in some cases trigger your immune system to mistakenly attack your own tissues and cells. This is bad. This is not what we want. This is called autoimmune dysfunction. If left unaddressed, this can lead to damage in the body, and in severe cases, it can make the mom, you, very sick. Now, I don't believe the research can clearly say whether having an autoimmune disorder either before, during, or after pregnancy will definitely cause postnatal depletion, but these types of autoimmune issues are very common in women diagnosed with postnatal depletion, and in any case, it can certainly make their depletion worse. There are two autoimmune disorders I'll highlight here simply because they are very prevalent among postnatal women. And I definitely encourage you to talk with your OBGYN or your doctor, your functional medicine doctor, if you have any concerns, because this isn't even an all-inclusive list, okay? One, Hashimoto's disease. I've had experience with this. Cured it. It's gone. Through supplementation, lifestyle, diet, and stress management. But this condition is caused by excessive inflammation in the thyroid. The thyroid is a butterfly-shaped gland in your neck. It produces many important hormones that help to regulate mood, muscle activation, metabolism, digestion, bone maintenance, and more. With Hashimoto's disease, the inflamed thyroid can begin to underfunction and lead to hypothyroidism. This can cause you to become super sluggish and lethargic and cause other issues such as dry, thin hair, weight gain, depression, constipation, decreased cold tolerance, and all kinds of other unfun stuff. Like, seriously, moms, we don't have time for this shit. And I also want to say, I have mentioned this before, but after my first pregnancy, where I was eating in moderation, a little bit of gluten, like on the weekends, and dairy, because I had no issues with it. Organic dairy, I was eating a little bit of it. This was like 6 years ago when it wasn't quite as clear this shit was not good for us, especially if we were eating like organic. Anyway, I just didn't know better. I wasn't quite as educated. So I kept eating that stuff. And then postnatally, I was just in a really, really stressful environment. And I think the stress is honestly was what did me in. I was breadwinner in my family. I had a traumatic birth. I had to have an emergency C-section. And it wasn't really an emergency C-section, but it was a really long birth. Traumatic, honestly. Can't even. And I went back to work 4 to 5 weeks post C-section with my first kid. I had no family within thousands of miles. I was on my own. The only help I had was paid help. And like, I couldn't really afford full-time like help because I just wasn't making as much money then. It was just a very, very stressful time. It was hard. It was my first kid. I didn't know what to expect. It was way harder than I thought it was going to be. Breastfeeding was a disaster. It was super, super stressful. Very stressful time. And I think the stress is what honestly did me in because I stopped eating dairy because I realized it wasn't good. But I kept eating gluten. I was actually fine for quite a while. But it was the stress that really effed me. And I had no symptoms. My whole point of this saying this is I had none of the symptoms I just said. I had none of those. I wasn't constipated. I wasn't depressed. I didn't gain weight. I had a six pack. I was very lean. I was working out super hard. I didn't feel sluggish and lethargic. Although after I fixed it, I realized like, wow, I have like way more energy. But I was still like working full time. You know, guys, I'm like very energetic. I was still energetic in probably most people's opinions, but where my best is, I wasn't at my best. My functional medicine doctor caught this. I didn't even go in for a thyroid issue. I went in to just network with him because I was getting more into the functional medicine side of things and studying the research, and I knew he was really good at what he did. So I literally went in to network. I made an appointment with him and paid whatever, $500 or whatever it was, just to go meet him because I thought it was a good business connection. And then he's like, what brings you in? I was like, I just wanted to meet you. Like, I've heard all these great things. I've heard you've like freaking cured cancer and like, I wanted to meet the legend, you know, and I knew that you probably wouldn't take a meeting with me for free. So I paid to come here just to kind of talk to you. He's like, okay, cool. So we talked for a while. And then he starts asking me questions. Like, I'm like, I'm good. Like, look how I'm like muscular, lean. I go hard, you know, and he's like seeing right through me, like, which I didn't even put together at the time. And then he's like, can I see your fingers? Can I see your eyes? Like, let me see whatever. literally within like 15 minutes, he's like, I think you have a thyroid issue. I was like, mwah, ha, 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 ha. No, I don't. Are you kidding me? Gaining a Hashimoto's like a slow thyroid? Like, have you seen my abs? Like, I don't have an issue with my metabolism, you know? And he's like, yeah, we're going to run your blood work. Just check. And we ran it, and it was, he was right. What I think my thing was, why I didn't have any of these symptoms, was that I was on the breaking point. Like, I would have passed with flying colors a normal blood panel for thyroid. Like, under normal, like, endo on the Western medicine side, everything tested normal, like perfectly normal. He tested a full thyroid panel, TPO antibodies, for example, which doesn't usually get pulled. And the TPO antibodies were slightly elevated. I'm talking normal TPO antibodies are like, I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure it's like anything below 15 is normal in like a functional medicine world. Anything above 15, whatever, is bad. But, like, you know, people that have TPO antibodies, they can have, like, 1,500 count. I had 79. Super low. For normal blood panels. Not for him. Not for him. He's, like, 79. Mm-mm. Here we go. Look at this. Like, and he's, like, pointing everything out. He's, like, look at your cortisol. Look at your adrenal function. Look at your thyroid function. And then we have TPO antibodies here. And then your free T4 is here. And I don't like that ratio. Like, it's just like, I don't understand it fully. This is why I pay a functional medicine doctor. But it was, he caught it so early on. This is why I highly recommend functional medicine doctors. I don't partner with them. I don't get paid. I don't get commission. I don't get any of that stuff. But in a perfect world, you need to have, you know, a trainer, nutritionist that can give you good programs with great recipes that also taste good, that like follow protocols that are supported by your functional medicine doctor. But what your functional medicine doctor is going to do for you is pull those labs and dissect that shit, like break it down. Like they have, like it would be a tenth of a point. And he's like, I want that a little bit higher. It's just very specific, which I really like because I want to thrive. Like, I don't just want to be healthy, right? I want to thrive. So he caught the Hashimoto's thing. I literally cried in his office. I felt like a failure as a trainer. Like, that's what I felt like. I'm like, this is what I do for a living, and I have Hashimoto's. You know, and technically from, like, an endo or an OBGYN, they would never say I have Hashimoto's. They would never say I even have a thyroid issue. But I'm not going by their standards. I'm going by functional medicine standards, which are much, much, much higher. And the root cause of the Hashimoto's was too much inflammation in my body, which was developed by I was eating some gluten, which I shouldn't have been eating. And it was mostly only on my cheat meals. My cheat meals, I would have gluten. That was like all week I would eat no gluten. And then on my cheat meal, I'd eat gluten. And I never felt any different. Like I felt fine. But it was causing inflammation in my body. I didn't realize I was contributing to my Hashimoto's and my thyroid dysfunction. Not to mention my adrenals were fatigued because I just had a baby. I was depleted in some nutrients that I desperately need to support my thyroid and manage inflammation. Therefore, my gut was off. And chronic stress was probably the key component to a lot of those things I just named. So, big sidebar there, just about my story. But I'm just telling it because I feel like women could relate. Because I feel like what happens is I educate on this, and then women go to their OB, pull their thyroids. Their OB says, your thyroid's fine. Mom's still not feeling right. She's not getting anywhere. You know, she's saying, listen, I'm tired. I can't lose weight. I'm lethargic, I'm having trouble putting on muscle mass, like I'm getting really bloated, you know, I did an elimination diet and I still am feeling kind of the same or only a little bit better. And they're like, okay, we'll check your thyroid. Oh, your thyroid's fine. You're good. You're just tired. It's a lot when you have kids. Like, no, she's depleted and she might actually have a thyroid issue. You guys just don't classify that as thyroid issue because you don't they don't diagnose it until it's almost like too late. You know, it's like, I want to catch things early on so I can like manage them. You know what I mean? So the reason why I'm just saying this whole spiel is to maybe motivate someone to go a step further. And if you're not getting the answers, if you're not feeling good, you're not getting the answer from your OB, and you're still not feeling good, you're not getting anywhere, please go see a good functional medicine doctor, a good functional medicine doctor. Okay. But another one that I want to talk about now that I went on that huge thing was inflammatory bowel disease, or IBD. This condition is caused also by excessive inflammation, but in the digestive tract, and can prevent your body from being able to absorb essential nutrients. Signs and symptoms of IBD, which I think are often overlooked during the postnatal period, include fatigue, abdominal pain and cramping, diarrhea, bloody stool, reduced appetite, unintentional weight loss. Now, what do you do if you've been diagnosed with autoimmune disorder after having a baby or even during your pregnancy? First things first, remember, I'm not your doctor. So talk to yours, please. And also remember that you have to have the power to restore hormone balance and improve your immune health. Two things which will definitely help you manage or even reverse your autoimmune disease. Remember, I reversed mine. I no longer have antibodies or sign of thyroid disorder. Will I ever eat gluten again? No, I won't. Will I ever eat dairy again? No, I won't. And if you think you have any thyroid issues, number one and number two for your diet, take those out and never eat them again. Get rid of alcohol too. That's another one. Okay, two things that will definitely help you manage or even reverse your autoimmune disease. Okay, through choices like managing stress, restoring your gut health through a better diet, high-quality gut food, like what's in my 30-day slim down or in my weekly meal plans or my 10-day detox. Also, supplements, exercising, a good exercise program, and getting better sleep. Or as best you can, of course, with a new baby in the house. But try to get help so you can sleep. Don't be too prideful to take help like I was the first time. That really screwed me over. The programs and products I offer to help you with these things are like the 30-day slim down, breastfeeding friendly, options included. So that's all good. My Bible diet, which is also breastfeeding friendly. My Move Your Bump, exercise programs, Tread Thrill, my ab rehab program. Even I have supplement packages that have all been designed to help you through postnatal depletion, and is backed by research. I partnered with actually a functional medicine doctor that designed the protocol for me to suggest for this postnatal depletion syndrome. I definitely encourage you to check those out. If you need help, I do have resources that can help you. If you've been dealing with an autoimmune disorder or simply aren't just feeling your best and you had your baby, you think you have postnatal depletion, any of those things could be very helpful in helping you replenish and recover postnatally. By the way, if not feeling your best post-pregnancy feels a lot like mental sluggishness or forgetfulness, then perhaps you're experiencing what many people jokingly refer to as momnesia or baby brain. Maybe you have a harder time concentrating. Maybe it takes you a lot longer to finish something than you get used to. You get really distracted easily, etc. Maybe it's hard for you to make decisions. It might be a new family joke, you know, that you always forget where you're putting your keys, or you're losing your train of thought mid-sentence. But silly mom jokes aside, I hate to be like the dork in the room, but the kind of mental fog and cognitive changes that are imposed by baby brain can be frustrating and stressful. And as it stands, there hasn't been a lot of specific research done about baby brain and what exactly causes it, but it definitely seems to be prevalent among women with postnatal depletion. So I'm going to go ahead and make the leap and say that if you have baby brain or momnesia, it's a sign that you may be dealing with postnatal depletion. Now, I know it's all funny, you know, mom brain is like this big joke, but like to me, like knowing what I know, that shit's not funny. Mom needs help. Okay. So like, I hate to be like so nerdy about it, but I care about you guys. And jokes aside, you need to look into whether you're having postnatal depletion, okay? Based on my research, baby brain is rooted in a few specific things. One, the placenta. Ah, here's the beloved placenta again. Okay, so the placenta triggers a virtual reprogramming of your brain when you're pregnant. This is to ensure that you'll be prepared to deeply bond with your baby once they arrive. These changes include increased neurons and nerve connections in taste, smell, and emotional centers of your brain. Also includes increased pruning in a certain area of your brain as well. In other words, parts of your brain temporarily shrink in the last trimester. I know, crazy. And increased levels of certain hormones like progesterone and estrogen. The result is that your brain is quite literally restructured, both hormonally and neurologically, so that you will become more emotionally responsive to your baby, but not in an overly anxious way. This often looks like slower cognitive processing, aka baby brain. I know, I'm a huge nerd, okay? I know, but you're not going crazy. But this is all kind of like a normal and supposed to be temporary change that allows you to be more attentive to your kiddo. So that is all like nature, you know, that's good. That's kind of what we want. Another contributing factor though to baby brain is sleep deprivation. So this is kind of can get into like an issue. This contributes to postnatal depletion. Sleep is actually highly biological active period and your body and brain are both busy at night doing necessary repair and maintenance work. We need sleep. If you're not getting enough sleep or your sleep is fractured and interrupted constantly by baby or by anything else, anxiety or whatever else, this can definitely disrupt your body's major restoration mode. Restoration mode. Sorry, sometimes I talk too fast. In addition to affecting your brain health and function, sleep deprivation can also be associated with weight gain, hormone imbalance, depression, impaired mood, and a weakened immune system, all of which these things, you guys, can contribute and or worsen postnatal depletion. It's like a perfect storm. The third major factor contributing to baby brain is nutrient depletion. Again, this is one of the negative ones. Not really what should be happening exactly. This may or may not include actual nutrient deficiencies, which are, you know, what's clinically diagnosable. But even if you don't have a clinically deficient level of a certain nutrient, you still may have subclinical insufficient levels, in other words. You know what I mean, right? If you don't, just think nutrient levels that aren't low enough to flag concern from most conventionally trained doctors, but also not high enough to support optimal function either. This is a gray area. Again, the black and the white. I get it. But the gray area should be ignored. And that's what I have an issue with. Because if you want to resolve your postnatal depletion symptoms, you have to have optimal levels enough to support optimal function and health of mom. So like one nutrient that's commonly depleted as a result of pregnancy is essential omega-3 fatty acid, DHA, which makes up 1/3 of the dry weight of your brain. What? 1/3. Whoa. So you can see how being depleted in DHA fatty acids can impair brain function. Other commonly depleted nutrients include B vitamins, magnesium, zinc, vitamin D, and iron. Where do these nutrients go, you might ask? They go to baby. Your body is shuttling fats and vitamins and minerals to baby via the placenta. And as I've said before, if you don't have deep enough well of nutrients to dip into to give to baby, then you won't have enough to meet both your nutrient demands and baby's nutrient demands. Because deficiencies in these nutrients are so common among postnatal women. No small thanks to the realities of stressful, gut-harming, and nutrient-poor modern life that predates pregnancy. I include many of these in my postpartum supplement bundles that was designed by Dr. Ben Lynch as a suggestion, which you can find on my Instagram link. You can just click that, and you'll have a link tree of all my different shiz, and you can click on supplements and you can log in there and see the suggested supplement routine for a postnatal person. For what it's worth, this is one of the reasons why I highly recommend connecting with a functional medicine doctor. I'll say it again. If you're interested in understanding more about your specific nutrient imbalances. So what I have suggested on my site is a general supplement routine, and you might need more. Like, I take more than that. You guys probably think I'm nuts. I take more than that, just so you know. But they're all specific to my needs. Help making sure my thyroid, for example. I'm taking other stuff for my thyroid to make sure that I'm functioning optimally. I also had, there's other stuff going on with me. I had a lot of environmental allergies with this place I was living, and I had to go on a bunch of stuff to try to calm down my immune system. It was like a whole thing. So you might need more than that is what I'm saying. Generally speaking, functional medicine doctors use tests that are much more sensitive than a lot of the conventional blood tests that, like I mentioned before, and things like that, so that they can catch deficiencies and catch issues that routine blood tests may miss. And also, they might pick up things that are just starting, which is what happened to me. That we picked my thyroid issue up before it was actually a thyroid issue. And then we fixed it. And then I avoided, like, I never had to be on medication. I never had, like, any long-term effects of having autoimmune disease. So now I just live my lifestyle to make sure that I'm, you know, constantly testing it every 6 months or so. See any flare-ups, if like my life gets really stressful or something. I'm just way more proactive. It's really about being proactive. Okay, the last major factor contributing to baby brain, based off my research, is heightened stress response. Now, in response to challenge, perceived or real challenge, which a lot of times I feel like with us moms, it's perceived, our bodies release several stress hormones, including cortisol. Cortisol is helpful and important in the body, and particularly during times of stress, because it helps us respond appropriately. But if our cortisol levels are too high or too low even, then problems can happen, including decreased sex drive, irregular periods, extreme fatigue, increased sensitivity to light and sound, or a stronger like startle reflex. Now, for a lot of women, the combination of a new baby, lack of social support, nutrient depletion, lack of sleep, this all can just lead to super abnormal cortisol levels. Let's call it the baby burnout, because that's basically what it is. This can have a dramatic snowball effect on all other areas of the body influenced by cortisol, which is a lot, including brain function and mood. Interestingly, cortisol also works with your thyroid to help regulate your metabolism and energy, which I don't know, maybe you guys did know that, but if not, we'll just tell you again. We already have seen how poorly functioning thyroid is associated with postnatal depletion syndrome, and the problem is that the thyroid should normally produce about 50% more of certain metabolism regulating hormones during pregnancy, but if you have extra stress and chronic stress, which is bad, if this is going on in your body, then the thyroid can start to underfunction. This highlights a major link between baby brain, chronic stress, autoimmune dysfunction that is becoming increasingly more and more common in postpartum women. Okay. Whew. Okay, let's take a breath. I hope you can see how deeply interconnected all these different issues are for the postnatal woman. It's pretty fascinating, isn't it? It's understandable that someone can feel like super tired when the baby arrives. But we just have to do a better job of looking into what's going on. And is it more than just being tired? Especially if it's been months or years after your kid's born. Like, I get it. Yeah, when baby's not sleeping for the first 4 months or whatever. Okay, you guys, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but, like, I am crazy about sleep training. I sleep train my kids at 6 weeks. mostly because of the lack of sleep that I'm getting. So for me, I'm super tired for the first 4 to 6 weeks. And then it starts getting a lot better. And then by 12 weeks, I'm good. I'm sleeping at least 7 hours. Because I don't breastfeed during the night. I don't do it. I can't do it all, you guys. Okay? Can't breastfeed and run businesses and be a mom to other kids and be a good wife and be sane and take care of my body and replenish while also getting up at 12 a.m. and 3 a.m. to pump. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Nope. But I'm not saying that you shouldn't. I'm just saying for me, it didn't work. That's not going to work for me. Not doing it. I did it with Kenzie. Didn't get me anywhere I wanted to go. I had so much milk. I didn't even use it all. I ended up throwing it out. Not worth it. Okay, moms, if you're feeling sluggish, stressed, tired, you're weak, you feel strung out, unsexy, overweight, depressed, or XYZ, whatever, you gotta, one, be kind to yourself. Please be aware that the possibility that you could be dealing with unaddressed, real, physiological, neurological, hormonal, immunological, metabolic changes in your body that were brought on by a past pregnancy, even if that pregnancy happened years ago, I want you to understand this could be postnatal depletion. Now, not claiming to diagnose you here. I'm not a doctor. And I don't play one on my podcast. But what I'm trying to help you understand and I'm trying to reveal to you is the connection that seems to explain many of the common issues I hear about in my postpartum clients and the issues that we are told to just accept as a part of motherhood, even by our doctors told to accept. I think we can do better. I think we can do better. The good news is that research tells us that the very things that can influence and reset our health are most of the things that are completely within our control, namely diet and lifestyle. And improving your diet and lifestyle isn't just about losing baby weight or managing or reversing chronic health conditions. As important as those things are, obviously, like I totally get that. But making positive lifestyle changes can literally help reset yourself on a hormonal level, which this is where I think I lose people. I'm going to be honest with you. I do a lot of advertising. I do run ads and stuff. But I don't often, maybe I should. I don't often talk about how my plans will change your hormones, although they will. Am I saying like, I'm not trying to just promote myself. Obviously, like, I live in my own reality, which is my businesses, right? And I do nutrition and I do fitness. And I know that everything I design in my programs are all based off of research. And I know that that research shows me that the way that I program meals and macros and carb cycles and fasting and even high-intensity interval training, the way I program Treadthrill and my cardio workouts and my strength and conditioning workouts and Move Your Bump, even down to breath work, you guys, in my ab rehab program, even down to breath work, all of it 100% can change your hormones, even down to your ab rehab daily rehab moves. Yes, absolutely can. Has a direct effect on hormones. I think what a lot of people miss out on is that they don't program with this in mind. If you're working with this demographic, if you're not utilizing research to program the way that best supports her hormones, you're doing your clients a big disservice. Because in this phase of life, even my healthiest client who did a perfect prep for pregnancy, perfect health during pregnancy, she still needs to promote optimal hormones after pregnancy. Has to for optimal health. She will get better results. Now, will she be okay if she doesn't? I don't know. Maybe. But I see moms, they just change, when they do the 30-day slim down, for example, with my ab rehab program, just changes the game. Obviously, she loses weight. That's not what I'm talking about. I know it's everyone's goal. Lose weight, heal diastasis, look better in the mirror, feel better, stop having back pain, stop having leakage, all these other things. Yes, 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 and yes. But on a mental, emotional level, hormonal level, so many of my clients also experience an unexpected improvement in all those things. And I think it's really important to understand that I'm thinking about turning the 30-day slim down into a breastfeeding only plan for only, not even just breastfeeding, but for like postnatal moms, because that's how confident I've become in the design of that plan to be like the first step to healing mom postnatally. Because of the way the meals are programmed, it's elimination diet, the carb cycle, the breastfeeding modifications, like everything in the plan. It's just really powerful. And I think people underestimate what they're eating post-pregnancy, and they're worried about milk production, or they're just worried about meal prep, or they just don't care because they're just so, you know, inundated with a newborn haze, which I totally get that. But it is so important to optimize your nutrition in the postnatal period, not only to heal postnatal depletion, but for your hormones and to optimize baby's nutrition if they're breastfeeding. I mean, that's what I think kills me when I watch people's stories and they're talking about eating like straight up candy when they're breastfeeding. I'm like, you realize you're feeding your kid candy, right? There's red 40 and yellow 5 and whatever the fuck else in there. You're feeding that. Toxins, chemicals, goes right into baby. I think that we need to just think things through a little bit more. Look at the package. Read the label. What's in there? Is there safflower, sunflower, canola oil? Inflammatory. Right there. Put it down. Turn over your snacks. Look at the ingredients. Do you see an omega-6 oil? Processed omega-6 oil. That means it's inflammatory. That means it's not helping you recover, replenish, get out of postnatal depletion. Inflammation from mom can go to baby. We want to control inflammation, bring it to a healthy level after pregnancy, replenish mom's stores, help her promote optimal hormones, most of which is done through diet and lifestyle. Very important to understand that. Now, here's the thing. To a lot of people, and you hear, you know, oh, you just need to, like, clean up your diet and lifestyle. That just seems like really empty information to someone. It's like, okay, well, I know how to do that. But do you? Because this is what I find. People come to me all the time. They're like, I eat really healthy. I'm like, all right, well, send me a day of your meals. And I'm just tearing that shit up. Tearing it up. Nope. 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 So I think a lot of people think they eat healthy, but they're not truly, like, fully educated on what that really means to have, like, an optimal lifestyle, especially in this phase of life. Right now, if, you know, you can maybe get away with things. Like, if you're, you know, you never had kids, let's say. You never went through pregnancy. You've never been super stressed. Like, you're living in a different world. You're living in a whole different world. And you can probably get away. You're not going to get away with eating the standard American diet, but you can probably not do things as great and get away with it because you haven't been knocked down, okay? You haven't been knocked down like the rest of us. So pregnancy really does a number on your body, right? So it's, you can't just get away with eating 2 servings of vegetables a day and expect your body to get replenished without being on supplements and a well-calculated diet. Now, to do the research and develop this, like, amazing program that's going to replenish you and help heal your postnatal depletion, you know, it's a lot of research. It's a lot to go into it. And that's where I come in, right? Like, it's my job to, you know, assimilate all the wealth of information out there, all the research, and turn it into a cohesive plan for my clients to follow. And I want to do that for my community. I want to help, you know, get into hormone rebalancing and thyroid issues and all that fun stuff so I can create a realistic and enjoyable meal plan and workout programs that can help adequately address these things without having, you know, to send you to get a new degree. And all you have to do is just give the programs a shot, follow them, and then see what happens. And if you've already found some benefit in any of my programs, I would definitely love if you shared your experience with me. I sometimes don't hear from people, and then like 6 months goes by, and then they send me these before and afters, and like, you changed my life. And like, where have you been the last 6 months? Why haven't I heard from you up until this point? You know what I mean? So check in with me and tell me how things are going. Either on Instagram, send me an email. Email is definitely best. Because I want to know. I want to know. My mission, obviously, is to just help completely upgrade the standard of care for pregnant and postnatal women and to change the way we think about pregnancy in general. And the more women I can reach, the better. And entrepreneurship, guys, is lonely. So when you message me and tell me how I'm helping you, that really helps, just so you know. I really appreciate it because it's lonely over here. I don't have any clients in person anymore. So you guys are my clients. So talk to me, okay? Okay, I want to hear what you learned from this podcast today. Send me an email. Get in touch with me on Instagram. Let me know what you think. If you still have questions, you need to dive deeper, let me know those too. And stay tuned for our third and upcoming episode related to postnatal depletion, where I'm going to be talking in greater detail about the diet and lifestyle practices you can do to help reverse or prevent this very common syndrome, postnatal depletion. If you want to check out my programs, this is what I suggest for postnatal moms. My 12-week ab rehab program, put it with my 30-day slim down. That's where you start. If you have a great experience on 30-day slim down, which I know you will, you can roll into my weekly meal plans delivered to your inbox every Friday, where I have quick mom meals that are delicious that will get your kids eating better. It will get you eating better. It's all based off of my same protocols that I do in my other meal plans, like the 30-day slim down. It's just a lifestyle effort. So we have a little more fun in there while still promoting optimal health, optimal hormones, and getting you the results that you want. Any feedback? Of course, I'd love to hear it. If you want to throw 5 stars into iTunes review, I'd really appreciate it. If you know someone that needs to hear this podcast, please send it to them. Please send it to them so they can get educated on postnatal depletion, because I'm sorry to say it, guys, but doctors aren't educating on this as far as I know. So if you are a doctor in the medical field, please also share this. Let's help women get educated and empower them with the knowledge so that they can heal and thrive and get fully replenished post-pregnancy. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next time.